From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kotsokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com.
Three-time Premiership champion SuperSport United and mobile payment fintech company Ikoka have just struck a sponsorship agreement for the team's sleeves. Now, this move is not surprising given the fact that Chief Growth Officer Graham Cumming was previously the head of product at MultiChoice, the parent company of SuperSport United. Now, as product head, Cumming was involved with the launch and marketing of online streaming services such as DStv Now, Box Office, and Showmax across the African continent. Join us in this episode of iAfrican Bites. Graham discusses the importance of content and sport, as well as why it's the ideal approach to expanding Ikoka's audience and retaining attention while boosting reputation and brand awareness.
Southern African Bites. Nice for you to join us, Graham. It's really good to have Ikoka here. Welcome to iAfrican Bites. Now, Graham, before joining Ikoka as Chief Growth Officer, you were head of product at MultiChoice, where you pioneered streaming television on Africa, the launch of a lot of TV and on-demand streaming platforms via the MultiChoice Group. Briefly take us through, you know, that period in your life. Take us through the journey. How did it all begin?
Thanks, Batong. Yeah, good to be on the show. Thanks for the invite. Yeah, I spent a large deal of my career at the MultiChoice Group in various sort of shapes and forms and roles. I think it was a period of about 18 years, and really always focused on sort of digital product development and I guess in the earlier days supporting some of the reality TV shows, and eventually, you know, once bandwidth sort of permitted it, the launch of some of the streaming services. And I guess from, you know, I take great pride and joy at watching those services having been launched to a handful of users and eventually growing to sort of millions of users across the continent. So very exciting times, very exciting part of my career and hugely privileged, I guess, to have been part of building and delivering consumer apps and experiences to people across the continent. So yeah, but I guess, you know, for me personally, I reached a point where, you know, I was looking for something different. I always enjoyed the sort of disruptive digital sort of space, mm-hmm. and I guess what technology allowed you to do. And for me, the next sort of frontier of disruption and I guess impact to be found was in the fintech space. And that's where I came across the Ikoka team and what they were doing.
100%, the keyword being disruption. Now from television to fintech, Ikoka was launched in 2012 by Matt Putman, Ramsey Daly, and Clive Putman, making you guys essentially 11 years old this year. So, I mean, how has been the journey at Ikoka? You know, how many SMEs have you empowered? And take us through, you know, your client base.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've only been with the team for sort of 13 months now, but as you correctly point out, founded sort of 11 years ago by Matt Ramsey and Clive, and I guess they had a strong calling to really help entrepreneurs start, grow, and manage businesses. They took a look at what was happening in the US at the time, and you might recall some of the activity around Stripe and sort of, you know, dongles being attached to mobile phones in order to, you know, take credit card payments. And the guys, took them a long time to sort of get their feet off the ground there, and lots of trial and error, and, you know, eventually got something up and running. But from what I hear and the stories that get relayed, definitely, you know, tough early days raising funds, you know, partnering with banks or trying to partner with banks, finding skills, keeping skills, sort of showing progress each year on a business plan and starting to build a brand with lots of sweat and tears along the way. I think in terms of, you know, you asked the question about merchant numbers. I mean, you know, we've built a business that makes a difference in a large number of merchants' lives today. Exact numbers, I'm not really at liberty to share, but I will say that, you know, to maybe give you a sense of the scale, we're running a business now that employs around 300 people, which is about 100% growth from this time last year. And we're adding new merchants into our world at a very healthy rate. So it's been a journey, but we're in a good place. We're building a strong team, and we think we've got a valuable sort of set of propositions and products for merchants.
Let's zoom into the township economy. What's been in your view? What's been the impact of Ikoka, specifically in the township economy? What have you learned about that specific market?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think, you know, maybe just to state that we sort of work with merchants and entrepreneurs from all walks of life. So I guess, you know, all ends of the SME spectrum, which is broad, and, you know, depending on whose definition you believe, could be anything from sort of 2.5 to 3.5 million people in the country. Mm. And includes, you know, everyone from sort of professional services, yoga studios, you know, dentists, all the way through to coffee shop restaurant owners, hair and beauty salons, and all the way, you know, to the lady who's selling airtime and cigarettes out of a container sitting in Kwamashu. So it's a big sort of, I guess, spectrum of merchants that we work with. But I think there's a lot that's been said about the township economy and the opportunity that it presents, both to businesses like ourselves, as well as opportunities within those informal trading environments. Yet there's very little data around what actually happens around sort of volumes. We're still figuring out a lot of you know, how the system works, and we've spent quite a bit of time, you know, in these informal trading spaces over the last sort of 6 months in the likes of Kwamashu and Stanga and Tembisa and Davyton, and really, I guess, observing where we believe the gaps to be. We see a lot of trade taking place in these informal environments, and that trade takes place in the form predominantly of cash. We know that cash is, A, it's dangerous. B, it's inefficient in that, you know, a merchant, I guess, has to, if they're going to keep their cash safe, they've got to go and deposit it, their deposit fees, you know, it's less than ideal. And I guess part of our purpose is really to help, you know, merchants make that transition from a physical cash world into a digital payments world, and, you know, and hopefully discover digital products that can grow their businesses. So I think we're very bullish on, you know, what the informal trading environment has to offer, and we're still learning as we go. We certainly don't claim to be experts yet, but we're doubling down, you know, in terms of investment and I guess skill and product set and thinking, and, you know, trying to take products into that environment and hopefully change the lives of those businesses. We also believe that, you know, one of the keys to resolving many of the issues in South Africa lies in enabling SMEs and equipping them with the tools to run and manage their businesses. And this part of the SME base is hugely critical if we're going to get that right in this country.
100%. Now, Graham, as growth officer, I mean, you would know one of the most important parts is, you know, what differentiates your entity from your competitors. I mean, how would you say Ikoka is different from, you know, competitors like Yoko? And I mean, you even see traditional banks now going into launching competing services, even as far as telcos, you know, you see MTN with MyMomo. What makes you guys different, and how are you dealing with the competition within the space?
Yeah, I guess that's a very good question. You know, we have a lot of admiration for what Yoko have managed to achieve and what they've built out. And in many ways, you know, their journey has been very similar to our journey. And we do compete in the marketplace more and more. We're also seeing banks starting to compete and set up and I guess take notice of this SME space. which they've traditionally ignored. I think from our perspective, in terms of how we compete, you know, we back ourselves in that we feel we've got a very good product offering. So that product offering consists of sort of in-person payment solutions. So, you know, physical card machines, starting from very sort of entry-level prices through to, you know, more sophisticated machines that are still very affordable. They're, you know, we buy into the concept that, you know, merchants pay for those machines once off and there's no rental fee or ongoing fee associated with it.
Which I know banks were making a killing off just renting them over a period of time.
Exactly. So our model was really to, I guess, you know, give the merchant that device at as low a cost as possible and allow them to get up and trading. We've also, I guess, you know, delved into the world of sort of digital payment solutions. So things like e-commerce capability, payment links and digital invoices. And I guess, you know, these payment methods that are non-physical or basically we call them card not present. So the person doesn't have to be physically there when they're making a payment. And these are solutions that, you know, again, are very competitive in the market space. And we back ourselves on low transaction rates. We back ourselves on the ability to onboard and support our merchants. We've got very high Hello Peter scores and App Store ratings, which kind of confirm that. And, you know, I guess is a good indication that we're doing a good job in the eyes of our merchants. So I think those are probably some of the things that we would compete on. You know, one of our differentiators, I guess, to a certain extent is we also vend airtime, electricity, allow for bill payments. And, you know, that's something that not all the competitors in this space do. And we're almost, I guess, taking a long, hard look at how we can improve that service, how we can expand the scope of products, you know, in that vending environment. So those are probably the things that we will compete on. But it all comes down to, you know, are we providing a good service? Are our merchants happy with that service? Can we support them better than most in the market? And that's really how we defining our I guess our competitive space.
Lovely. I mean, the fintech space is such a competitive space. I think the differentiator is always going to be new technology, new features. The more simpler, the more seamless, I think, the better. And that's what's going to really give you guys that competitive edge. But Graham, let's go into this. I mean, you just said you've only been at eCocoa for 13 months, you know, and you shared with us you've got 300, you know, employees, staff. What's the culture at eCocoa? Like, for somebody that's, you know, looks at eCocoa, I want to work for eCocoa, take us through a day at the office. What's going on? What's the culture? How's the vibe? How's the energy?
Great question. Yeah, look, I mean, I guess for me personally, that was one of the attractions. It's a young culture, very dynamic, very ambitious set of people that we brought into the business. You know, we pride ourselves, I guess, on being open and honest and transparent. All comms are pretty much visible across the organization. One of the things that we look for in the talent that we attract is, I guess, people who are driven by a purpose. You know, we have a very strong purpose in our organization and, you know, purpose tends to attract the right sort of individuals, where they believe that the work that they can do really will impact society, will impact lives. So purpose is a big part of our culture. We're also, I guess, embracing sort of digital and remote ways of working. So, you know, I'm actually, as much as it's a KZN Durban Bay or Schlanger based company, that's where it was founded and started. You know, I'm based in Joburg. So I spend, you know, every other week, I spend a couple of days down with the team, but most of my time is kind of remote based. And we're adopting that culture throughout our teams. We've got people across South Africa now. And we've also recently started to place skills outside of our borders. So we've got a couple of recruits out of Pakistan and I think Kenya. We've got two developers in Kenya and a senior developer out of Nigeria. So, you know, we're finding the right skills, I guess, on a global scale. Culture is a big part of our recruitment process. We kind of do the skills assessments and then we we kind of definitely spend quite a lot of time on sort of culture interviews and making sure we're attracting the right talent.
Let me put this. Graham, you guys are based in Durban, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of what can you say, the fintech and the big tech companies are mostly in the Atlantic, you know, in Cape Town. You guys are all the way in the Indian Ocean.
Yes.
Has there been a conversation of moving to Cape Town, you know, with the whole Cape Silicon Valley thing happening? What's the talks in the office?
No, listen, we're proudly KZN. Okay. You know, we've got, a lot of the fintech action does happen out of Cape Town, but we've set down roots in KZN. That will always be HQ for us. But we can't kind of ignore the fact that skills, you know, maybe have become a little bit harder to find in let's say a KZN bubble. So hence the decision to sort of look across the country. I would, out of the 300 people, I would hesitate to say we've probably got, you know, upwards of 50 people now that are remote and sort of employed outside of KZN and growing, as well as those international recruits that I spoke about. So, you know, you don't have to be based in the Silicon Cape to embrace everything that South Africa has to offer. And I guess, you know, what Africa has to offer. And for the time being, we're definitely a KZN HQ based company.
Love that. Love hearing that. Love the KZN, you know, patriotism.
Absolutely.
Let's go into adoption, Graham. Is Ikoka planning to scale into other markets besides South Africa? If yes, which ones?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think like any business that is growing fast and is, you know, making an impact in our category, we do have ambitions beyond South Africa. We haven't finalized any of those plans as yet. And we still have a lot of work to do in South Africa, but we are looking at new markets. I guess, you know, the natural fit for us would be to find markets with similar problems to solve. So lots of cash still being used in the markets, I guess, high issuance of cards in a market, a banking sector that is largely ignored, an SME layer. There are a couple of those those markets in Africa that are interesting and I guess on our radar. I mean, the obvious ones that you would think of, Kenya, sort of Ghana. But we certainly haven't finalized any plans yet. We've got a lot of work. We believe that, you know, there's still a lot of opportunity in South Africa, and between, you know, the competitors in South Africa, there's probably still a lot of headroom for growth if we look at the size of the addressable market there from an SME perspective. But absolutely, like ambition-wise, we do have aspirations of entering new markets and that day will come.
Beautiful, Graham. Now we're going to my favorite exciting topic, the Super Sports League sponsorship. Now, Graham, walk us through. What were the questions? What was the thinking, the rationale, you know, at Ikoka regarding this, you know, the sponsorship, the sleeve sponsorship?
Yeah, we're hugely excited about it. It's created a lot of excitement in the office and I guess, you know, amongst the industry and some of our merchants already. I mean, I guess in terms of thought process, you know, for us as a team, we really were looking for ways to, I guess, amplify our brand and the awareness around what we do with our target market. So I guess sort of, you know, a couple of the questions that we went through during the process would have been things like, you know, which mediums are important to us and where we think we can tell our best stories. You know, television is a place. I come from the sort of media and entertainment background. I guess have an appreciation for what that medium is capable of doing. It's not the cheapest medium either, so you've got to box smart with your budgets there. But I think from a storytelling perspective, if we get it right, it's a fantastic medium for us to take our brand, you know, to the whole of South Africa and sort of amplify that awareness. You know, having a look at a sponsorship, which sport did we want to back? Interestingly, we actually took out a small sponsorship for the T20 Cricket World Cup last year.
Oh, really?
It was over a two-week period during that Cricket World Cup, and it was, you know, we did some squeeze backs and some kind of you know, general on-air advertising. No sort of sponsorship as such. And I think that sort of piqued our interest in what sport could deliver for us. And then when you think about it, you know, football is the universal sort of language of you know, how people connect with each other. So for us, football was a no-brainer. The PSL in the country is a fantastically managed you know, league. It's got a fantastic following. And SuperSport United, I think, just resonated with us from, you know, a good number of shared values, hard work, you know, teamwork, determination, ambition, good work ethic, ready to hustle. You know, those were all the things that spoke to us. So, yeah, I think, you know, it was important that we looked at that sponsorship and not just from our guess of visibility on screen perspective, but also from the perspective of what other things could a sponsorship like that bring us. So, you know, activations with players and I guess, you know, the ability to, you know, use some of that exposure and almost take our merchants, you know, into that environment. So potentially, you know, loyal merchants or competitions that we could start to run and, you know, really, I guess, start to speak to that target market in terms of, you know, fans of the game and merchants in our world. There's quite a nice overlap there. And besides just what you're seeing on screen, there's a lot of sort of tactical stuff that we could unlock. So that was important for us as well.
I mean, you once worked for MultiChoice. I mean, did you get a rebate on the price?
Unfortunately, they've got to buy players, and there's no rebates. But absolutely, I mean, we've got good relationships. I've got good relationships with the team there, and I guess you know, we just found a good synergy between what they were looking for from a sponsorship and what we were looking for from an exposure and activation and support perspective. And I think, you know, I think it's a good sort of marriage from that point of view. But no, full price is paid. And yeah, I guess, you know, that's they've got to buy players and they've got to climb the ladder to the top of the league as far as we're concerned.
Let me squeeze this in. How much worth was the deal?
It's probably something that I shouldn't be sharing with you. I will say it's
please, Graham, just for us, please.
It's look, I mean, if you look at budgets in terms of what you're spending on TV, in advertising, it's definitely in the sort of millions of rands of spend. We obviously get exposure both on the television, you know, broadcast themselves at the stadiums, the jerseys, and there's a whole bunch of other activations that we get exposure to. So from our point of view, it's a big deal for us. You know, we're still a fairly, I guess, growing fintech in this space. We don't have the sort of budgets of JSC listed companies, so it's big money for us. But we feel that probably, you know, from a value perspective, it's the right sort of thing for us to be looking at.
And then what were the sort of return on investment and metrics does Ecock expect from this deal?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, as I said, our objective there is really, I guess, to raise awareness and get some exposure, you know, for our brand and the products that we're launching into, as you mentioned, a fairly competitive space. So things like brand recall in the market for us, things like share of voice are good indicators for us that the sponsorship is working. And those are the things that we'll be watching and we'll be tracking. And I guess also, you know, as I mentioned, it's a platform for us to activate from. So our exposure at games and rewarding merchants, we will be able to quantify from, you know, I guess, a lead gen perspective, you know, how many leads can we create? What sort of retention can we look at from a merchant perspective and sort of loyalty associated with that? So, you know, those are the broad sort of measures of success that we would be looking at out of a sponsorship like this.
Lastly, Graham, 2023. You just started. Is there anything exciting we should look forward to from Ecock? You know, services, features, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's, you know, 2022 was a monumental year for us in terms of new products. So we've released a whole bunch of new things into the market. You know, just to name a few, we launched, I guess, the ability for merchants to take card payments on their Android phones. So we call it it's a feature that we're calling Tap on Phone. So if you download our application and you've got an NFC enabled Android phone, you don't need to buy a physical card machine anymore. So you know, there's a lot of product improvement and I guess, you know, user journey improvement that we will be looking at from a Tap on Phone perspective and really growing that entry into our world. It's essentially, it's a freemium entry because you don't have to even buy a device. You can literally register as a merchant and get up and trading. So we'll double down on you know, I guess, you know, smoothing those journeys out and growing that product line. We also late last year launched our flagship product, which is the Flyer. It's also an Android-based card machine. And there are a whole bunch of features that we will be releasing onto that device this year. I mentioned you know, the ability to vend airtime and electricity. That's one of the features we'll be pushing onto the Flyer. And then you know, things like auto onboarding for our merchants. One of the biggest friction points, I guess, for anybody setting up a business is all the administration and kind of, you know, paperwork that goes around setting up a company or opening up a bank account. Or, you know, what we try to do is really take as much of that friction out of the setup process as possible. So we're at the point now where, you know, merchants can download our app and can almost go through a process of, you know, taking a selfie, scanning their ID document. And in the background, we will start to go through a FICA process and just validate that they are who they say they are, and get them onboarded. And for us, and for the merchants, that's almost a game changer, because what typically would take, you know, maybe a couple of days in terms of documents back and forth and scanning and verifying and vetting people can now be reduced to, you know, a matter of minutes.
Hassle-free.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for us, it's major, but I guess it also allows a merchant who's maybe out and about or at a market, or, you know, who wants to, maybe they're making jewelry in their kitchen at home and they want to go and sell that on the weekend. You know, to get up and running is actually a hurdle that is lowered significantly now, and they can get up and running very quickly. So I guess we will double down on, you know, the awareness and the education around all of these products and features. You know, as far as 2023 is concerned and new sort of products, we have I alluded to this mission or this purpose of ours, which is really to help these entrepreneurs start growing, manage their businesses. And I guess the clue is in the start growing and managing. You know, we've got a lot of the starting and growing in place. How do you manage your business? What tools do you need to manage your business? How do you view statements? How do you view insights into your sales?
How do you cost your products and services?
Exactly. How do you load your products? How do you see the margin you're making on your products? These are all things that the teams are looking into, and I guess part of the ecosystem that we're really excited about, you know, bringing to market living up to that mission statement of ours.
Graham, lovely. It was lovely talking to you. Graham Cumming, Chief Growth Officer at Ikoka. Graham, thank you so much.
Batong, thank you.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bytes. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iafrican.com. That is iafrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bytes is an iAfrican Media original show, produced by Nzalo Mbangana, content producer and host Badon Kotokwane, and content manager Machabe Mabunda.